This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen. It's 7.35 in the morning, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having The Breakfast Grill, where Noel Lim speaks with Alberto Alesina, Professor of Political Economy at Harvard University.
Yes, now the conventional view is for governments to spend to pump prime the economy. Noel wants to speak to Alberto about the best way to manage budgets. Is it better to spend or to cut expenditure? His view, cut, and for the government to stay out of business. So let's see how this conversation flows between Noel and Alberto later.
And that's happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. Now, in the meantime, the end of last year saw a surge in US retail during the period between November and December. Data from MasterCard showed that total US retail sales rose at 3.4% during that period, underlining strong consumer spending in the US.
Now, this is despite robust headline. This also highlighted the difficulties that traditional brick and mortar stores face as actually consumers shift to online shopping. Bear in mind, US retail sales from e-commerce has risen to 19% of the market, while sales at physical stores only grew just above 1%. And now, according to Credit Suisse, October last year saw more than 7,600 departmental stores being closed, and that's actually a record for that point in time in the year. So the question is, if retailers fail to capture growth amid higher spending, is there a darker outlook to be expected for the US retail market?
So to help us get insight into this matter, we have with us on the line David Swartz, equity analyst for consumer sector at Morningstar. Thank you very much for joining us, David. Now, department stores were the worst performing sector for the S&P 500 this year, yet consumer spending looks strong, with data from MasterCard indicating that US retail sales rose 3.4% year on year during the all important holiday season. So, where is the money actually being spent?
Yeah, so department stores definitely did struggle last year, and in the holiday period, as the MasterCard numbers showed, department store sales are down 1.8%. These days, department stores are really not much more than large apparel stores, and the MasterCard numbers showed that apparel growth was only 1%. So apparel was not particularly strong in comparison with other consumer areas. A lot of the spending now is going to online sales, Amazon and other online retailers, and also a lot of outlet stores and discount stores like Ross, and as well as low-income stores like Dollar General and Dollar Tree. So we're seeing a lot of movement out of department stores into discount stores and online channels.
So what is the solution for these departmental stores then, or even some of the more famous brands like Gap, who are closing their stores? How can brands like this regain their footing in retail and maybe win back the customer?
Well, in the case of Gap, I don't think they really have a clear plan right now. The company just fired its CEO a couple months ago, so Gap is really in a bad situation. Their brands, Gap and Banana Republic, are really struggling. Old Navy is doing much better, which is Gap's discount brand. A lot of the department stores now are trying to go to more experience-related retail to bring in shoppers more consistently, because the shopper traffic has definitely declined over the past 5 years. And so they need to bring in, they need to give people reason to go to the stores more often. Macy's, for example, is testing in-store discount stores called Backstage. So they're sort of mini stores within the larger Macy's stores. Kohl's is trying to accept Amazon returns as a way of getting people to go into their stores. They're increasingly going to their online capabilities to drive traffic to the stores, such as buy online, pick up in store, and other online and store related efforts. And so far, they've had minimal success with some of these efforts. So we'll have to see what happens.
And meanwhile, I noticed a trend. We saw companies like Nike moving away from selling their products on e-commerce giant Amazon. Do you see more brands doing so? And what is their reason for doing this?
Nike had always viewed their sales through Amazon as a pilot program, so they were never entirely committed to it. They had started it in 2017 as a pilot, and they never gave their best product to Amazon itself. they entered into the deal with Amazon, I believe, to try to reduce the amount of third-party sellers of Nike shoes and apparel on Amazon. I think they didn't have much success with that. Amazon was never really a big partner for Nike. I don't expect other brands to follow Nike's lead on this because Nike is so much bigger than others and they have so many more channels that they can afford to give up a customer like Amazon and still do very well. Many other brands are too dependent on Amazon to actually give it up. We may see it happen once in a while, but I don't think it will be any major trend.
So, David, what are your top picks then for the consumer sector heading into 2020?
Yeah, a lot of the retailer stocks now are quite cheap. So if someone is looking for a value stock, there are retailers that are very cheap. It's hard to recommend them because they are lacking in momentum, but investors have really punished some of these stocks. Macy's, for example, now has a dividend yield over 9%, which is much greater than in past years. So that shows how much that stock has been hit. Nordstrom, too, another department store, but we think it's a stronger department store than Macy's because it has more loyal shoppers and they have more upscale shoppers than Macy's does. Other stocks that we like in consumer include Hanes Brands. Hanes owns Champion as well as a number of other brands, and the stock is quite inexpensive and has perhaps been hurt by investors who are afraid of its exposure to department stores and other retailers. So those are a few that we consider to be undervalued at the current time.
And you have a contrarian call on Lululemon with the only sell on the street. Why, when the company's revenue has doubled in the last 6 years?
Yeah, so Lululemon is doing very well. And as you said, the company has been booming the last few years. Unfortunately, though, the stock price has also been booming. So in that time you mentioned, 6 years, the stock price has gone from about $50 per share to today it's over $230 per share. So the revenue has doubled, but the stock price has far more than doubled over the last few years. And so we believe that the stock right now is quite expensive. Looking at our price target against other companies' price target is a little bit misleading because we don't actually put out a one-year price target like the brokerage analysts do. We put out a fair value estimate on what we believe Lululemon is worth today, and that's based on our 10-year discounted cash flow model. So our expectation of what Lululemon is worth is really based on expectations for the future, and so it doesn't really matter so much how they've done in the past. And we just believe that right now Lululemon, which is trading at 40 times forward earnings, is just too expensive to buy at this current price.
And meanwhile, you know, we know that consumer spending seems to be very resilient in the U.S. with unemployment at a 50-year low and very strong job creation. But perhaps what could derail this in 2020?
Any kind of slowdown in economic growth, you know, GDP growth in the U.S., it does appear that it has been slowing. It may have peaked a couple years ago when there was a bit of a boost, but I think it has slowed. And if it continues to slow, then that would affect consumer spending. Unemployment is very low, that's true. However, it's more than just unemployment that matters. It's also income levels, and wage growth has not been particularly strong in the U.S. We're seeing a greater increase in income inequality between high-income people and middle and lower-income people. And a lot of the lower-income people on an inflation-adjusted basis are not doing very well, and so that will affect consumer spending, especially at stores that cater to those customers.
Thank you very much, David. And that was David Swartz, equity analyst for the consumer sector over at Morningstar, giving us his thoughts on the future of U.S. retail. Now, interesting, his answer to the question about Nike's decision to pull themselves off Amazon, because we had another conversation yesterday also on a similar subject, and Sucharita actually anticipated that they would be seeing more e-control measures going into 2020, more of this kind of brands trying to consolidate and take more ownership over their online presence. But David doesn't seem to agree.
I think it depends on how strong a brand you are. So, you know, we were talking about Nike, right? So it's a $140 billion company, probably the largest sportswear company there is out there in the world. the other competitions, probably Adidas. So they have clout, and I think they can run their own e-commerce strategy independently of Amazon. But if you're a much smaller player, what choice do you have? Because it isn't cheap to run, to kind of roll out what is called the omni-channel platform, right? So the best is probably to piggyback on the likes of Amazon, which already has reach and also has, you know, the systems in place, so you don't have to really spend much money to do it. What was interesting from his conversation was Lululemon, and he's being the contrarian call, right? The market seems to value this stock actually almost like a technology company rather than a retailer, giving it a PE of 40 times. Now, this is an interesting stock to watch, whether it will disappoint, because the expectations are already so high for a name like this.
And, you know, it always gets a bit worrying when non-tech companies are valued like tech companies, because
WeWork.
But just it's just the difference in scale. Tech companies can scale much quicker. They are borderless and all of that. Lululemon is a physical product, and maybe the brand value is different. But at 40 times earnings, forward earnings, really, and going from $50 to $230, while revenues have just doubled, that is interesting to see that Morningstar has gone with that contrarian call, and that their valuations are based on their fair value today. But one thing I did paid attention there was to the move away from the department stores to discount players. He mentioned that a few times, how discount players are doing better, how a lot more people, either you're doing the high-end brands or the discount players. And on one side, I think we've talked a lot about this, especially during Christmas time, about how people are used to paying for discounted prices. But also, there's this element of, yes, there are people who are doing well, but there are also people who aren't doing well. So even though consumer spending is up, what are people buying? And are they all spending on discounted? Are they all spending on discount stores? Then that shows a different sentiment.
Very interesting to see how this will continue to develop. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages. And then up next, we'll be speaking about Dr. Mazli Malik's resignation as Education Minister, as well as about the rollout of 5G technology. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.